Support for Che Explained comes from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. If you like spy thrillers, or indeed Elizabeth Moss, then you might want to check out FX's The Veil. It's an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. Ooh, I'll go. One woman has a secret, same here, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming only on Hulu.
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. It's hard to imagine a world where we leave future generations with fewer rights and freedoms. Since the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills aimed at blocking people from getting the essential sexual and reproductive care they need, including abortion. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves access to care. And with supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future to learn more and support their cause.
While the rest of the world was busy worrying about the virus, they just had a big old messy attempt at a coup out in Venezuela. If the coup flew right past you, Alex Ward has your back. He's been covering it for Vox.
To understand the extent of this dramatic Shakespearean tragedy, you really need to understand four main characters of this play.
You already know one of them, Juan Guaido, the guy who's been trying to oust Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro for about a year and a half.
You need to know a guy named J.J. Rendon, who is a close associate of the Guaido team. You need to know about a former major general from Venezuela, a guy named Cleaver Alcala, who is no fan of Maduro. And the central character in our play is a guy named Jordan Goudreau, a former U.S. Green Beret who created this company called Silvercorp USA and who was hired to help fund and lead as well this anti-Maduro raid.
How do all these characters come together in this story?
It's a long story, but here's the Cliff Notes version. Alcala has a group of ex-Venezuelan soldiers in Colombia, and they're training for an actual coup of Maduro, an actual overthrow, like Michael Bay, you know, Jack Ryan style, like go into Caracas, take out the leader. He meets Jordan Goudreau at a concert last year, which was done and put on by Richard Branson, the billionaire, to help give humanitarian aid into the country, but also really to back Guaido's efforts to get Maduro out.
I remember that concert.
By the end, they eventually come up with a plan in which Goudreau will bring weapons and money into this scheme. And Goudreau basically says, look, I've got tons of contacts in the Trump administration and the U.S. government. I obtained, as part of my reporting, a document that Goudreau drafted last summer, which shows all the kinds of things he basically said that the team would need, including M4 rifles, night vision goggles, anti-tank weaponry, and, you know, things like Sharpies, notepads, whatever, pens.
Everything from anti-tank weaponry to pens.
Yep, he ran the gamut here. Now, while these guys are talking, Guaido is still trying to figure out a way to get Maduro out and get himself in power. By last fall, Guaido forms this select committee, basically a kind of think tank within his team, to figure out what options do we have to get Maduro out. The leader of this committee is a guy named J.J. Rendon, and Rendon ends up meeting with Goudreau in Miami, in which Goudreau basically makes the same pitch. I can send 800 men. I have, you know, weapons at disposal. I can get a lot of money. And here's what you need to do. You need to give me a $1.5 million retainer. And also, I will take some money out of Venezuela's oil once Guaido is in power. And so they get to talking. They have some meetings. By October of last year, they sign a contract.
A contract for a coup?
Yep. Signed by Goudreau, Rendon, and most controversially and amazingly, Guaido. The contract is for, now here comes the quote,
an operation to capture/detain/remove Nicolas Maduro.
...
Remove the current regime and install the recognized Venezuelan president, Juan Guaido.
So, it's pretty clear. This is a contract in which Goudreau effectively signs on with Guaido's team to oust Maduro, and put Guaido into power.
So at what point do they try to execute the plan in this contract?
Well, you should know that throughout this time, this group led by Alcala is still training in Colombia, and they're still waiting for their money, they're still waiting for their guns, and we're in October, right? Remember, Goudreau and Alcala talked about this in February of that year. So they're just biding their time, training, doing all kinds of things. And I've talked to people who actually were with the Venezuelans in Colombia training, and they believed that, you know, Goudreau had talked directly to Trump, that he was former CIA, that the U.S. government was actually behind this thing, when really there's no evidence of any of that. Flash forward to November, Goudreau has not produced anything. He's acting erratically. He's actually asking Rendon for $1.5 million retainer and not getting it. Rendon effectively just like wires him $50,000 just to see if Goudreau needs more time to, you know, fulfill his promise, and he hasn't done it. And so they basically cut ties in November. They think it's all over. The plan is dead. That is, until we got to May.
What happens in May?
On May 1st, the Associated Press puts out this wild, stunning report in which it lays out that Goudreau was hired to help with this plan to oust Maduro, that there are ex-Venezuelan soldiers training in Colombia, that Guaido's team seems to be involved, all of that. That comes out May 1st. Which happens to be the same day that the plan to overthrow Maduro is launched.
Wait. I thought the plan was dead. Guaido and Rendon thought the plan was off, but Goudreau was going through with the plan anyway? Same plan? Different plan?
The initial plan was two teams of 300 men would go from Colombia into Venezuela. One team would take over Maracaibo, the country's second largest city, a major oil hub with a massive seaport. And another team would go into Caracas to overthrow Maduro. And the detail that I love the most is the plan would be they would go basically right near Maduro's presidential palace in American helicopters flown by American pilots, but wearing Venezuelan military garb. The helicopter pilots would transport those ex-Venezuelan soldiers near the presidential palace so they could go in, capture Maduro, hold there for a bit as the Maracaibo team drives all night to Caracas, and then eventually they take Maduro to the United States to stand trial, face justice, and Guaido takes over. And the hope would be that even though this was 300 men, that there would be so many anti-Maduro forces that Maduro's troops would eventually lay down their arms and let all of this happen, or even join in to help the operation. This is the plan that Alcala and Goudreau kind of talked about earlier. Then what Goudreau was selling to Guaido's team was, oh, I can get 800 men. And I can get all this weaponry that we talked about. So here's what ends up happening on May 1st. At least two fishing boats, perhaps a few more, with only 60 men in it, including two former U.S. Green Berets and guns and ammo, start going from Colombia into Venezuela.
This isn't the 800 men from the contract. This isn't the 300 men from the plan that existed earlier. This is 60 dudes on fishing boats?
Yep. It's a long journey, and they are seasick. They are vomiting along the way. On May 3rd, when they get near the Venezuelan coast in the north, they get caught pretty easily.
Two Americans captured along with 11 others after a failed armed incursion into Venezuela. They tried to get in by sea, but the plan floundered off the coast.
Eight people were killed, about 13 arrested, perhaps more now. And what makes it even more amazing is Goudreau, who is not in these boats, does two things. One, he puts out a video in which he announces the operation as it is happening.
At 1700 hours, a daring amphibious raid was launched from the border of Colombia deep into the heart of Caracas. Our men are continuing to fight right now.
And then he also tweets about it from his company's account. So this was always going to go bad. It's 60 guys trying to overthrow a country, but it makes it much, 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 much harder when you're announcing a coup attempt online.
So on a scale of like one to coup, how did this go?
I mean, one lower? I mean, they didn't even make it to the coast before without getting caught. There are some horrendous scenes in which you can see, you know, the men who try to do the overthrow, they are on the ground, face down, you know, hands behind their head, being, you know, held at gunpoint. There are some reports by Maduro critics that there's been some extrajudicial killings of some of these men. And there are two Americans captured here. these two former Special Forces soldiers. And Maduro goes on national TV to basically brag about how this whole plan was thwarted, how he knew about it.
On Sunday, May the 3rd, Venezuela faced down an attempted maritime incursion from terrorist mercenaries that were trained in Colombian territory under financing and support from the United States and the current Colombian government.
And he goes on to also, like, hold up the passport of one of the Americans, their, you know, Department of Veterans Affairs card, an expired Pentagon access card. Like, they have the IDs, and they're shown on Venezuelan national TV. And then also one of the Americans is put on national TV in Venezuela, in which he's being interrogated. And, you know, there's always pressure in these things, so you take it with a grain of salt. But
I was helping Venezuelans take back control.
This was all part of a plan. It was part of a contract that was signed.
My responsibilities to Silvercorp are written in a contract, or described in a contract, signed by Jordan Goudreau, Juan Rendon, and Juan Guaido.
And the big picture here for Venezuela is Maduro has been saying, the United States is after me. They are plotting to overthrow me. It sounded like a conspiracy theory, and it still pretty much is, but boy, did he just get bolstered by having an American lead a boneheaded coup to oust him from power.
More with Alex after a break.
Support for Jay Explained comes from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. If you like spy thrillers or indeed Elizabeth Moss, then you might want to check out FX's The Veil. It's an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. Oh, I'll go. One woman has a secret, same here, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming only on Hulu.
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. Your body is your own. That's why Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Today, lawmakers who oppose abortion are challenging Planned Parenthood. Affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. Planned Parenthood believes that health care is a basic human right. That's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect our right to control our own bodies. They also work tirelessly to oppose the onslaught of new policies aimed at interfering with personal decisions best left to patients and their doctors. They won't give up and they won't back down. You can join Planned Parenthood in the fight to help make sure that the next generation can decide their own futures. The organization needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. to learn more and support their cause.
Alex, it's been about a week since this attempted coup was quashed. What's happened since?
Well, there's been global implications. In Venezuela, you have Guaido, who was popular, and it's now been about a year and a half since he's launched his plan to overthrow Maduro, and he's faced setback after setback, probably none bigger than this one. Even though last year he tried an actual coup attempt himself and that didn't work. And this one where he's trying to get like Americans involved, it just looks desperate and sloppy. And if you're trying to make a case that you should be the leader of a country, being involved in something this amateur isn't going to help.
Does he still have support?
Yeah, there are tons of people who do not want Maduro to be in charge because the country's in shambles under his leadership. I mean, the economy has absolutely tanked. You've got millions starving, impoverished, you know, and fleeing the country. It is just a horrible humanitarian situation in Venezuela directly because of Maduro's failed leadership there. And there's a feeling that Guaido represents this sort of movement to get him out. But again, it's been about a year and a half, and he hasn't really made much progress at this point. A failed coup attempt last year, and even more sloppy and amateur one just last week.
The United States has its hands full right now with this pandemic, but did they weigh in? Did they say anything about this attempted coup in Venezuela?
Pompeo has been the most vocal in saying, like, we had no direct involvement in this. You've had Secretary of Defense Esper say the U.S. was not involved. And Trump also said we were not involved. But Trump, as he does, made it a bit worse.
If I wanted to go into Venezuela, I wouldn't make a secret about it. I'd go right in. I'd go in and they would and do would, nothing about it.
Yeah,
they
would, they you'd would probably send over. More people, right?
I wouldn't send a small little group. No. It would be called an army.
Like, I would have gone in big, not 60 men in fishing boats.
If we ever did anything with Venezuela, it wouldn't be that way. It would be a slightly different. It would be called an invasion.
Trump is basically saying, if I was going to do a coup, I would do a coup.
Has Maduro said anything in response to that?
What he is saying is that he believes the U.S. is behind it. He firmly believes it, or at least he's saying that he does. And why shouldn't he? He has been using the United States as a scapegoat for his failed leadership in Venezuela, saying that because there's this American effort to get him out of power, that that's really why there are the problems that there are in Venezuela. That was always an exaggerated claim. But having a big win like this, in the sense of having Americans work with Venezuelans to try to get him out, and that he stopped it. He's able to, one, show that he's still in power and still very, successful in that sense and in charge of the armed services. But also, that lends some legitimacy in the eyes of some people that there is this American effort to get him out. So this is Maduro's best week in a really long time.
And meanwhile, what does that mean for the Venezuelan people? I mean, they've got this political crisis on top of the existing economic crisis. And now, on top of a global pandemic, where does that leave them?
In a really bad spot. I feel for the people of Venezuela who many, millions have demonstrated and latched onto Guaido as a sense of hope in that if Maduro goes, or at least somehow Maduro decides to change everything about the way he leads the country, that maybe Venezuela, which was a fairly rich country not that long ago, massive oil reserves, a lot going for it, that now Maduro has firmed his grip on the country, which could only potentially mean more dictatorship, devastation, economic hardship, hunger, a horrifying humanitarian situation in the country that will only further impact the region with refugees flooding into Colombia, heading elsewhere. It's going to be a massive problem. And so to have this on top of the coronavirus is just a tragedy of epic proportions.
Alex Ward, he writes about the world for Vox. He talks about it on a podcast called Worldly. I'm Sean Ramos for him. This is Today Explained.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.